Personification of religious principles. The Vaikuntha planet is the Supreme Personality of God, who is the original person and who can be understood through the Vedic literature. He is full of the uncontaminated mode of goodness, with no place for passion or ignorance. He contributes religious progress for the devotees. The kingdom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky cannot be understood by any process other than hearing from the description of the Vedas. No one can be in this material world also one who is unable to take the God to a farthest place by motorized conveniences can only understand about that place from authentic books. Similarly, the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky are beyond this material sky. The modern scientists who are trying to travel in space are having difficulty going even to the nearest planet, the moon, to say nothing of the highest planet within the universe. There is no possibility that they can go beyond the material sky, enter the spiritual sky and see for themselves the spiritual planets, Vaikuntha. Therefore, the kingdom of God in the spiritual sky can be understood only through the authentic descriptions of the Vedas and Puranas. In the material world, there are three most material qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But in the spiritual world, There is no trace of the modes of passion and ignorance. There is only the mode of goodness, which is uncontaminated by any tinge of ignorance or passion. In the material world, even if a person is completely in goodness, he is sometimes subject to be polluted by tinges of the modes of ignorance and passion. But in the Vaikuntha world, the spiritual sky, only the mode of goodness in its pure form exists. The Lord and His devotees reside in the Vaikuntha planets, and they are of the same transcendental quality, namely Shuddha Sattva, of pure goodness. The Vaikuntha planets are very dear to the Vaishnavas, and for the progressive march of the Vaishnavas toward the kingdom of God, the Lord Himself helps His devotees. Omagyanatimirandasya nirandana salato chachurun militam yena tasmai shurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Snapitam Yena Mutale Swayam Rupa Tava Mahayam Nadati Swapadantitam Banchakal Patravyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Bhaktina Pavani Vya Vaishnare Vya Namo Namah Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the description of the kingdom of God, the Srimad Bhagavatam, gives many details about the spiritual world that are unknown to most religious people. People speak about heaven, you know, the kingdom of God, but they don't have much information about it. They have no idea what is there. Of course, the only way we can know is the Shastras, the Vedic literature, which have very detailed description. I mean, we can't see it right now with our own eyes, but still, because we accept the authority of the Vedic literature, we are hearing and accepting, yes, this is true. We have to accept anybody or somebody as an authority. Either you accept the scientist who says that life can matter and everything just an evolution, you know, and all these things. Anyway, you know what is made an investigation, they wrote a book about archaeology showing how the scientists were cheating the people. There were discoveries that challenge this idea of so-called Darwinian evolution. And whatever proof that goes against that, they just try to hide it, because they want to establish the atheistic ideas about creation. So, I mean, this reminds me, some years ago I was in Costa Rica, and one devotee showed me the newspaper, the front page. There was a bishop, Christian bishop, speaking about evolution. And he was saying in the front page that that the human body was given by the monkey, but the soul was given by God. This is making compromise, half-half. You know? He wants to be good with everyone, you know. But we can't play like that. No, Prabhupada said we should pick Darwin with the boot in the face. We should challenge all of these people. There are a bunch of rascals. First of all, the Vedas also speak about evolution. But evolution mentioned the Vedas is of the soul. The soul is evolving from one body to another body. From the 8,400,000 species of life. The Vedas, it is mentioned that there are 900,000 forms of aquatics. 2 million varieties of trees and plants, 1,100,000 varieties of insects and reptiles, 1 million varieties of birds, 3 million varieties of beasts, and 400,000 varieties of human beings. In all the universe, not just this planet, we think about all the universe. You don't find all these species here, one planet. So the soul evolving from one body to another in this scale until finally the soul comes to the human form of life. So this evolution is a spiritual. The soul is evolving. But Darwin's theory, he takes away the soul and he just says that the body is changing. He doesn't understand. The body changes when the soul changes from one body to another. So he's in ignorance. He doesn't know. And people accept him as the greatest authority about the creation. Because they are fools also. Otherwise, how can they accept such a thing? And now some religious people, they came out with a new theory about creation, just accepting God, you know. But in scientific terms, they call it intelligent design. Have you heard about this, intelligent design? They study the cell, many minute organism, and by studying the cell, they said this cell is very complex. All the functions of the cell, they need so many things to come together, make work as such, and this can be done by chance. It is an intelligent design. So if Darwin's idea that gradually the bodies evolve to higher, so the cell from where came before that, from where she good got all the intrinsic designs and things, from where they came. There was, you know, organism before that. So that's like the primary organism. So how can you explain this theory of Darwin with all these discoveries we are making now? So they are accepting, they're saying, no. We are scientists, we are not, you know, we are not religious people. This is what we are discovering. And if you want to call it God, well, that's up to you. But we are saying that it's some intelligent design behind this creation. It's not by chance. So gradually people are becoming a little more intelligent to understand the nature of things. So it is Darwin's case from the lowest to the topmost, no? From the cell to the human being. But it's the opposite way, from the highest to the lowest. First creation in the universe was Brahma, the highest, the more intelligent, the most intelligent being. And from there came the lower ones. It's from top to down, not from down to top. You have something with less intelligence, less information can create something higher than itself. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. We have to use our sense also. So anyway, and Brahma came from the Supreme Lord. Like that. Everything in the origin, Prabhupada challenged the scientists by saying life comes from life, not from matter. Matter comes from life. Unless the soul is there, the soul doesn't grow. Doesn't have life. So the soul is giving life to the body. And because they don't know the truth about the soul, they don't care to kill the poor animals. They said animals have no souls, so we can kill them. And what is the proof that the animals have no soul? We have no proof. Jai Shishi Gornaya Gopinath. Jai. Jai Ho. Hari Hari. Hari Ho. So the animal is eating, the human being is eating, the human being is sleeping, the animal is sleeping. human being has sex, have children, the animal also. If the animal, you cut his blood from the animal also. So with all the similarities, how can you deny the existence of the soul and the animal too? Once in Venezuela, in Caracas, I was in the park, in Jabawa, and some students stopped me to ask some questions, you know, group of students. So in the conversation, they talk about animal kings. I go explain to them we are vegetarian because we don't want to harm the animals, you know, like that. And they say, well, what is the problem? The animals, they don't think. I say, what do you mean they don't think? No, they act only by instinct. What do you mean that by instinct? How can you say they don't think? Yeah, they don't think, okay. It is wrong, I thought. You may see the cat waiting for the cook to come out of the kitchen to go in to steal the milk or the fish. So he's thinking, he's planning, you know, how to do this. How does it say the animal can't think? He's thinking. If you try to go away, don't come here. He goes, you understand? He's not like it there. So it's not thinking? How can you say it's not thinking? Of course, animals can't think beyond their needs of eating, sleeping, mating, offending. They can't go beyond that. But you are a human being, you can understand higher things. So you have to understand how the soul is in the human, the animal body. Otherwise you'll be like animal also. What is the difference between human and animals? That the human can ask questions animals can. Who am I? What I am doing in this world? Thereafter then. So unless we come to the spiritual platform of understanding the soul, we cannot be equal to everyone. Artificially, many people sometimes say, yeah, we are inhabitants of this earth planet, we should not discriminate against others. Which is nice, which is okay. But unless we come to the spiritual form of understanding that we are all spirit souls, we should not discriminate against others because of the color of the skin or the liver or the sex or whatever. But unless we understand that the soul is there and we are all equals, we can't free the world from discrimination based on racial or things like that. The same thing happens. Unless we understand the animal has a soul, people will not stop killing the animals. So it's a question of understanding the goal of human life, the plan of the world. There is a plan. Why the Lord created this material world? There's a plan behind it. If you buy, for example, an electronics, but with the electronics comes the instruction, how to use it. And if you use it properly, you will have no problem. But if you throw away the instruction and you just try to play with it, you may damage the electronics. The same thing, this material world has a plan. And the plan, how to use it properly, is made by the Lord himself, in the Shastras. If you follow this instruction, you will have no problems. Problem nowadays, people call themselves Indian, Christian, Hindu, Muslim, Jew, but they don't want to follow the laws of God. So that's the problem. That's why there are so many problems in this world. Recently, Rajashi Prabhu told me that in Kenya there is a civil war, killing each other, that's because of politics, you know, elections, and cheating, things like that. So just see, people killing each other over anything, you know. People dying, you know, every day. They don't want anybody to intervene. They say, no, this is our internal problem. Internal problem, killing each other every day by thousands. So people, unfortunately, let's tell them, they don't understand that the purpose of life, of human life, is to achieve God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. I mean, God created this material world to offer a facility to living entities to go back home, back to God. But first, the Lord first, to satisfy the desires of the living entities to enjoy separately from Him. So Krishna is very kind. He could have put to sleep all living entities, you know, the body of Maha Vishnu forever and forget about them, you know. No more problems. But the Lord is so kind and merciful. Nitya Nityanam Chinatanam Ekobhavanam Yovidadhati Kamam. He wanted to please all desires. Since we are part and parcels of Him, let them try to please their desires. And when they are frustrated, they will come to Him. Their cars, they will come to the Lord. So the material creation has these two purposes. One, to satisfy the material desires of living entities. And second, and most important, is that when living entity gets frustrated in their attempt to enjoy separately from the Lord, they can come back to their original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and try to go back home back to God. Sometimes people ask, why God created the world, this world with so many problems? Earthquakes, you know, tsunamis, and so many people dying, you know, so many problems all the time, war, violence, so many things. Why God created this world like this? Just to remind you that this material world is not your real home. So problems must be there. Just a reminder of us. We can't be in this material world unless we become Krishna conscious, of course. But the goal, human goal of life, is to achieve spiritual perfection and go to our original home in the spiritual kingdom of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That's the goal of life. But people don't know about this goal. Their religiosity is just to be nullified so I can have better facility to enjoy this material world. The whole idea they have in mind. Okay? So, once a devotee asked Prabhupada, did Krishna create this material world to satisfy our desire to enjoy separately from Him? Prabhupada said, yes. Then the devotee said, he's not fulfilling that because you are suffering like anything in this material world. It's not a lot, it's opposite. But this is not giving any guarantee that you will be happy. He said, at your own risk, you may try. You know, it's like a son asking his father, please give me a motorcycle. Father said, no, it's very dangerous, you may have an accident, you know, so many people died, you know. I don't know, my friends have, and they have no problem, also I will take care of them, no, please. He insists so much, finally Father says, okay, fight for you. But if anything happens, it's at your own risk. Don't blame me. So it's like that. It's going to give us this opportunity to come to this material world, to fulfill our material desires, but at the same time it's at our own risk. So if anything goes wrong, we can't blame the Lord. We have to blame ourselves. Because happiness is placed, we are creating ourselves by our own activities. I mean, materialistic people, they think when everything goes fine, everything is going well, they think, oh, this is thanks to my intelligence, to my effort, you know, I'm achieving those good things. And when things go wrong, they blame God, you know, or blame others. No, God didn't help me, or this did that to me, or this. But the Lord is the opposite. When everything goes very nicely, he goes, oh, that's the rest of the Lord. I don't deserve this, but the Lord is so kind. And when things go bad, problems, he blames him. Oh, I deserve to suffer even more for all the sinful activities I did in the past. Either in this life or in the past life. But the Lord is so kind, that diminishing what I actually deserve to have. So I must always, you know, have faith in the Lord and serve and love Lord, worship Him. In this way the soul becomes Bhagyavan, very fortunate, and becomes eligible to go back to God. I noticed that word to explain that in Sanskrit. Anybody remember? Daya. Dayavak means a proper inheritor of the kingdom of God. Actually, the kingdom of God is our inheritance because we are all part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. We are meant for that. But that's only if we want. Krishna helps those who want to help themselves. He's more than eager. He's more eager than us to get us back to our original home. But he doesn't want to force us. He wants to be voluntary. So, for example, what the son has to do to inherit his father's property? What the son has to do? Any idea? Yes, Ramji.
Must be obedient to his father.
Must be obedient to his father. That's
correct. Obedience.
Be patient. Must be patient. Patient for what? To his father dies? That's a virtue. That's a virtue. I will get all the money. Sakuni Sata Guru Marana. Do you know that saying? Shakuri Sape Daru Marana, that the vulture is cursing the cow, die, 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 so he can eat the cow. So, anyway, get patient to be obedient for them. To serve, yes, that's very important. Okay, but this is something most essential, even.
Torah. The Torah.
The Torah? With the Father?
Maybe different confusion might arise.
Okay. But there is something more essential to inherit the Father's property. And that is to remain alive. Because if you die, you don't get anything. And of course, the spiritual sense, to remain alive means to be obedient, to serve, and be patient. And to be alive in Krishna consciousness means, to be obedient and serve, to be of service to the Lord, like that. So, one has to keep himself alive by always being conscious. So, then one will be able to inherit. The inheritance is eternal, the father is eternal, the inheritor is also eternal. So there is no loss for anyone. It's only gain. Win-win situation. Any comments, questions?
I think you're making the point that there are the misery levels in the material world. Sometimes when we fumble this, that the paradigm of religion tends to be a bit different. That I heard one devotee say that they became a devotee, and after becoming a devotee, the source of all their problems were the devotees themselves. That, what kind of is that mentality right? Is it justified? Is it not only correct? Like to have that mentality, I think that I'm experiencing difficulties, but actually my difficulties are because of the devotees.
This reminds me one story of Prabhupada. To answer this question, I'll tell you a story. Once, a man approached Prabhupada to complain about the temple president. He told Prabhupada, I get this temple president some money for mentorship, but he used it for some other service in the temple, for something else. So I'm very blurred like this. And Prabhupada told him, don't be angry at the instrument of your karma. anything happen accidentally, if you have to suffer to the hand of one devotee, it's just an instrument. You are suffering because of Yama, not because of him or her. It's just being used only as an instrument. So don't be angry at the instrument of your karma. I thought that was a very good answer, you know. We should not blame anybody but ourselves for our own problems and stuff. And if somebody is being used as an instrument to make us pay our karma, we should not be angry at them. We should understand. That's at fault. I am at fault. I must have done something wrong that I have, you know, like once Prabhupada, I mean, lecture one place, and one man stood up and started to criticize Prabhupada. The devotees wanted to take him out of the hall, but Prabhupada said, no, let him. And, okay, finish, and, you know, that. But the devotee asked Prabhupada, why didn't allow us to take him out? He was offending. Prabhupada said, no, I have to be tolerant. Maybe I did something bad in the past life, now he's, you know, taking revenge. I have to be tolerant. So we have to try things that way. Nothing happened accidentally. Everything happened for a purpose. We have to learn our lesson. And also in the Maharaj, it is explained that if somebody unjustly chastise you or do something bad to you unjustly, please tolerate, you don't complain, you just tolerate. All the pious activity of that person will come to you. So there is a gain by being tolerant. So it's a good to be tolerant. You have a question,
no? Do you start if you spoke of animals and all these things, they take on your capacity?
Yes.
I remember in one class, in school, the lecturer was giving an example of a fish. Mm-hmm. A bird was telling a fish a story. Sorry, a frog was telling a fish a story about a bird. And how he described the bird flying and all these things. So in the fish mind, we attract everyone to draw a picture of what the fish draw. So many people drew a fish with wings. Because that is the capacity of the fish, you never saw a bird before.
Yeah.
Question is, and he also gave me the reference that because of our capacity as human beings, we can think this far, we tend to picture up. As also having our own form, as human and God.
Yes.
The question is, based on scripture, how can we refute this point and justify the
The justification, the argument we can give a person with this type of argument is this. We cannot know God by our own mental speculation. But he's saying we are speculating that God looks like us. But the thing is that it's the other way around. We look like God. He doesn't look like us. we are a carbon copy of him. Imperfect copy. It's not the other way around. We have this human form because God's original form is human life, and he doesn't have a material body of flesh and bone. Doesn't get all disease or die like our body. Our body is imperfect, but even in the Bible it says we are created in the image of God. That means God has a form. And here in this chapter we are reading, it is explained that God has a four-armed form just to show that he is different humans. So yes, you can tell him yes, God has a form of four arms. There are no humans like that. So we are not copying anything. But use their own argument to defeat them. Their argument. This reminds me another, you know, once in a morning walk in Caracas in 1975, Rimbaho Prabhu asked Prabhupada, or just made a comment that in university my professor said the idea of God was invented by man due to fear of death. Meaning he was an atheist. So people have this idea of God was created by him. Because fear of death, people, you know. And Prabhupada immediately answered, "Then, my dear professor, if the problem is there, then let him solve this problem. We don't care about God anymore." But don't ask us to stop thinking of God without first solving the death problem. Is he not afraid of death? Huh? If the thief comes and puts his gun on his head, he says, "No, kill me, I'm not afraid. No, no, give people the money, don't kill me." For his health, help. He's not afraid. But he's too proud of that. Yes.
If
they haven't found all the skeletons that they exist.
Yes.
They haven't. They may have found some, and with those they created their own idea of the so-called evolution. But there are many other discoveries that they try to sweep under the carpet because that is the theory. And these devotees, they made a book about archaeology explaining all these discoveries by scientists that were hidden, they were trying to cover up, showing that they were intelligent human beings millions of years ago.
Well, actually, the theory is that
the prehistoric man and the modern man, they existed simultaneously at the same time. Even nowadays, you find the jungle, aborigine people, you know, they live like savages, and this is the intelligent modern man.
No.
Simultaneously, at that time, there were both types of human beings existing, coexisting at the same time. Yes, of course, of course. Yeah, there's definitely. Yes. They are in the 400,000 species of life. Yeah, they're human beings. Actually, according to the Vedas, the soul comes to human life from three animal bodies: the lion, the cow, and the gorilla. From this three bodies, the monkey is there. So we are coming from the monkey-like body, they are in the mode of ignorance, more prone to the mode of ignorance. Those are coming from the body of a lion, more affected by passion. Those are coming from the body of a cow, they are more like in the body of goodness. So those who think that coming from monkey, they must be monkeys from past life, and they must be in ignorance. You can inject them, then inject them and then, you know, then we are big scientists who take our hat, you know, to offer respect to you. You haven't done that yet. They just give big thought, but this is their theory. They haven't created life. They will not be able to create life because life is already created. They just manipulate the elements which are already there. And they want to take the credit for doing that without giving credit to the Supreme Creator, which they are trying to deny because of their foolishness.
So, that excuse me. So,
like Francis Darwin and others like him, really before and after. Srila Prabhupada saying that Darwin terrorized foolishly. What can you say from Srila Prabhupada? This theory is foolish.
Yes, Prabhupada addressed Darwin. Prabhupada said you should kick him with a boot on the face. Meaning you have to read philosophy.
Yes, yes.
By argument and reason. Mm-hmm. That's our weapon, knowledge against ignorance. People don't know because they have no understanding. So they accept any theory that people are a little more intelligent than beings. If we give them these books, we give them this intelligence to understand that they can be rejected.
William Shakespeare said, if we, you know, I did some job in the school, my sister is great. If we is a great fool or prayer or people, even ignorant, don't understand deep meaning, like the Mahamantra, so, you know, we chant all that. Right? So the name music and sub music is very blatant, it's noise, and there's no.
Talking about chanting is just noise. Srila Bhaktivedanta once told, you know, the devotees told him that in one temple in India they had, the neighbors complained about the smell of the ghee when they were cooking. They couldn't tolerate the smell of the ghee. But they were eating, you know, they kill animals that eat them, and that didn't disturb them at all, that smell of blood. So like that, people in mode of ignorance, they get disturbed over, you know, things in the mode of goodness. It's kind of what can be done. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki Gaura Premanandi.